Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. It's me, Jesse, and this is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Hulkamilamens Squamish-speaking peoples, who have been here since time immemorial, gathering to share stories and their culture. And I'm very grateful to be able to be here in this place to do my own version of that. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday morning. Today on the program, bit of a mixed bag, as usual, I suppose. Got a throwback, got some new stuff, might have a live guest, but haven't heard back from them, so we'll see if that happens. And of course, some local music. Big day today at CJSF. Every Thursday's a big day. We got a great lineup of programs, starting, you know, with yours truly here. We got Democracy Now. We got Garen's Open Mic. We've got Call Me Negotiator, Free Voices. We've got the ACID Kids coming in, the Art Show. Oh my God, it's so great all day today. So stick around. If you're up on campus, we got karaoke coming up later this afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. Always a good time. I'm prepping my songs. And just tons going on. So let's get into it. We're going to start, as we usually do, with some new music from one of my favorite local artists who is calling it quits after releasing a new record called Star of the Show. Future Star, the project is being retired, it seems, and that's sad, but also I'm happy for Selena. You know, sometimes you got to move on and either do something else or do something different or just stop, and that's okay. And so we're going to hear the title track from that record, Star of the Show, by Future Star, right now.
It's not going to be my birthday for a little while, and everybody's looking for the next big thing. I reach into my pocket, thought I had it, but I lost it, must have dropped it when I thought I had it under control. Maybe it fell out a hole, maybe it's just rock and roll. I got distracted when I started trying to be the star of the show. It's not gonna be my birthday for a little while, and everybody's looking for the next big thing. They moved out to the East Coast, they all moved to the East Coast, let's forget about that.
Intervention
Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. That was Star of the Show by Future Star, the title track from the final release by Future Star. And surprise, I'm joined now in studio by Callie from the History Student Union here at SFU. Welcome.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for joining me in studio this morning. You're here to talk about a particular thing, a contest, why don't you describe it?
Yeah, so I'm here to talk about our annual Witness to Humanity contest, student showcase, and gala. So this is typically a collaboration we've held in the past 3 years with the Humanities Student Union and the History Student Union. So essentially what we do is it's a contest first. So we start taking submissions from anyone in the three categories that we have are academic essays, creative writing, so anything poetry, prose, that sort of thing, and then visual art, so photography, paintings people have done, drawings, that sort of thing. And we have a $100 prize per category for that. And we take all our submissions, and then at the very end, even if you don't win anything, we'll announce the winners at a gala, and it's sort of a student showcase and reception. I've always found that it's really fun, and I think it's a really great celebration, not just for history and humanities students, but just as a celebration of arts and the humanities overall for anyone who is interested in those sorts of things.
Cool. And this is open to all SFU undergraduate students, right?
Open to all undergraduate students.
Great. What are people, like, is there a prompt? Is there, like, a sort of theme? Like, what are people writing or creating towards?
Yeah, so every year we've typically done our theme as Witness to Humanity. As, like, history and humanities students, what we always talk about is when you're reading something or looking at something, it's you're kind of witnessing humanity and how do you interpret it, all those sources that are in front of you. This year, we've added a little bit of a twist to that usual theme that we've had in the past 3 years, because we've always had Witness to Humanity as our theme. This year, it's Witness to Humanity's : History Unmasked. So the way we're thinking about it this year is that it's not just that you're there and you're looking at the history that before you, but you're kind of reinterpreting it. And it's always something that's going to be in front of you. But I don't know, how are you going to look at it in a different angle? What new angles that we bring? And I feel like that's such an important conversation today with the conversations we have about decolonization, reconciliation, and just so many, like, I don't know, I think reconciling with just new ways of thinking, just especially as students and art and kind of looking at all of those things.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this is the third year?
We've done it for the past 3 years, so this would be the fourth year that we're doing it.
This is the fourth one. Yeah. Have you attended or participated in the previous ones?
Yeah, so I think 2 years ago I participated and I like actually submitted to it. Then the next year, because I was helping run it and I was like doing all the judging, I was like, this would be a conflict of interest if I actually ran. So I didn't really do that, but I helped run it last year. And then this year, again, we're doing again with the Humanities Student Union. I've always been on like the History Student Union side of things. I was never really a humanities student, but I've always really enjoyed it. I thought it was always a great opportunity. Even if you're not just there for the contest, it's kind of like just a party. You don't really get a formal party generally at other places in SFU. So it's like a nice place to dress up, grab some snacks and food, and just kind of talk to other peers about arts and the humanities.
Cool. And what was the process of judging like?
Yeah, so we actually have, usually it's either grad students or professors that judge. This year we reached out to a couple humanities professors as well as history professors, and they've all agreed to judge. So we usually like remove all the names. It's blind judging that's done. And then these professors look at it, they give us a score, and then we'll go back, we'll calculate all the scores based on the professors, and then we'll choose the top winners based off of that.
Cool. I know you've sort of given the prompt and the general idea, but if you were to say sort of what you're hoping people will submit or will take from that, do you have any thoughts or ideas?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I'm really excited. I've always been really excited to see the visual art. I feel like that's always like a wonderful thing. Like, it's so fun to see how people respond to like this prompt. It's a very broad category, Witness to Humanity and History Unmasked. But I think there's so many ways you can look at it, and it's especially since it's about not just reflecting on history, but how can you look at it in a different angle and kind of subvert the traditional narratives that we've had about history and the dominant ways that we talk about history. It's not just about memorizing events that have happened and things that have happened, or looking at a piece and saying this is the only way that we can look at it and this is the only story that it tells, but it's how can we look at it in another angle and what other stories can we tell, whose story hasn't been told in this sort of artwork that we've looked at. And I think that's the really cool thing about like academic essays. It's bringing in new conversations.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a very interesting and also important twist to, yeah. to be able to, yeah, look at like a different perspective on that. I think as students, it's really easy to just be like, okay, well, this is what the sources say, and you know, I can draw my conclusions from that. But to actively be sort of like questioning that, I think is a really important step for students to be taking.
Yeah, and I think it's also really cool because the longer through line underneath it is what makes us all human, and just looking at these things from the past and art that's been made today, all of these things are kind of, there's that through line that this is all just what brings us all together and that we're all human at the end of it as well, even if we're looking at these things from different angles.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, if people want to participate in the contest and submit work or find out more about the contest, how do they do that?
Yeah, so the easiest way would to be to go to our Instagram. It's at SFU_HSU. And then, yeah, it'll also be on our website, the Humanities Student. I think that's SFU.humsu. You'll have to correct me on that later. But yeah, we have some posters around campus as well. You can scan the QR code if you run across one of those.
Great. And what is the deadline?
The deadline to submit to this is March the 13th. So 11:59, get in for then. Last year, we had a lot of last minute submissions. So
always.
Yeah, always.
Cool. Well, that gives just over 3 weeks, just about 3 weeks, yeah, of time to get your submissions together. Is there anything else you think people should know about the contest or about the Humanities or History Student Unions?
Yeah, I think that's mostly it. This year, we're actually, for the gala itself, it's going to be a part masquerade, I think, that we're doing it as. So we'll have a mask-making workshop as well at some point to be advertised later. We're still kind of in the planning process with that. But we'll have a mask-making workshop, and then at the gala, people will dress up. And if they want to wear a mask, that's up to them. If they just want to show up, it'll just kind of be a party.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about the deadline for the submissions. Do you have a date for the gala yet?
The gala will be April the 10th, Friday. And I believe we're doing it in the evening then, so...
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thanks for coming in to join me, Callie, and we'll direct people to check out Witness to Humanity, History Unmasked, and make a submission.
All right, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks a lot. Again, that was Callie from the History Student Union talking about Witness to Humanity, History Unmasked. You can find out more information on the History Student Union or Humanities Student Union Instagram pages and websites. We're going to switch things up to a little bit of music now. This is The Magic Triangle, which features Jose as the drummer, who I used to work with at a pizzeria, which is super fun. And this one is called The Great Pulcini.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Yeah, come get involved. Jeremy, our volunteer coordinator, is super keen to help get you up and running, and I'm super keen to help get you on the air if that's what you like. or get involved in some other way. We have lots of opportunities doing kind of anything radio related behind or in front of the scenes. That's not really how you use the what the opposite of behind the scenes would be, but in the scene. Anyway, you can be on the air, you can work behind the scenes, whatever you want to do. Come pop by the station, head to cgsf.ca/signup to access our volunteer portal, or give Jeremy an email, vol4cjsf@sfu.ca. That's the number 4, vol4cjsf@sfu.ca. I'm Jesse, programming coordinator here at CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. This is Speak Up. You just heard The Great Pulcini by The Magic Triangle from their record Trapo Casual, which rules, is a lot of fun, and as I said, some friend con, as it were. Okay, we're going to turn now to, well, we're going to rewind a little bit, sort of. Back in, gosh, I guess June of last year, following the National Campus Community, well, at the National Campus Community Radio Conference in Nanaimo, we being myself and Connor and some other folks from CJSF, met with someone quite interesting, and that was, excuse me, Jennifer from the Digital Libraries and Archives of Radio, DLARC, anyway, affiliated with the Internet Archive, and well, an archivist of community radio. And Jennifer Waits from the DLARC College Radio Archive, you know, gave a presentation about her work, and then also came by the station to do a tour and to document what's here, and to just generally add it to her archive of community radio and college radio stuff. And at that point, Connor did an interview with Jennifer about the whole process, and she spent a whole bunch of time looking at the studio and, again, taking pictures and notes, and then went and did a whole bunch of work and research, digging through past archived articles from the student newspaper and a bunch of stuff to put together an article about the station on her website, Radio Survivor. And so that's now been published at radiosurvivor.com. And I recommend you go there, radiosurvivor.com, and have a read. Sorry, you're hearing all the cell phone interference as I bring my mic up, or bring the phone up, so I can look at the article, which features all sorts of cool pictures of the station and our archive. There's a picture of Connor and I, and just a really cool look through the history of CJSF and all of that. So I really recommend you go check that out at radiosurvivor.com. And since we can, we're going to revisit that conversation between Connor and Jennifer right now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Another exclusive interview from Vancouver FM. We have a representative, an emissary from the Bay Area. I found out, same town that I lived in. Please, for Radioland, if you could let us know where you're from and the station that you work at and the amazing organization you also work with.
Oh, yeah, I'm Jennifer Waits, and I'm a volunteer at KFJC, 89.7 FM, and it's at Foothill College in Los Altos Hills, California. And I also work for the Internet Archive, curating a college radio collection, which in, you know, Canadian terms would be like campus and community radio collection. So yeah, I'm visiting Canada, I'm visiting BC to talk about that project and invite stations to contribute to this archive that we're building.
We were thrilled. It's a Sunday here just after the NCRC conference held in Nanaimo, and I jetted back here, but then Jesse, on the way out, Jesse reminded me, hey, someone from the Internet Archive is coming from here, and she's from the Bay Area as well too, and I said, oh, I'm from the Bay Area. And we found out we are both from Sunnyvale, so shout out Sunnyvale, the 408 and Silicon Valley and the South Bay.
I know, my homeland. I live in San Francisco now, but had a suburban youth in Sunnyvale.
I feel that. One of the coolest parts about the Internet Archive is that it's not just websites. There's a whole bunch of books being digitized. There's preservation of recordings. There's news articles. There's video. There's software, a significant amount of software. And then one of my favorite things, a lot of old video games are preserved. So either ransomware or randomware or shareware that has now expired kind of thing. I grew up in the era of DOS games and very early PC and computer gaming. Yeah. And the Internet Archive, I go back to regularly and find stuff to play.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really fun stuff, and they keep adding kind of fun functionality. They're also digitizing microfiche, and one of the newest things is that you can go and watch a live stream of microfiche being digitized, and it has kind of this chill vibe music in the background.
Oh, beautiful.
So it's like a very meditative experience. But yeah, they're trying to preserve all kinds of things, and the project I'm working on, it's considered a special collection. So there's some of these highly curated collections that are official projects, and it's a grant-funded project that I'm part of that is ostensibly a ham radio archive.
Nice.
It's called the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications, and the person in charge of that whole project, Kay Savitz, has a really broad perspective about amateur radio, so was adding stuff on the fringes of college and community radio. And so when I found out about it, I, you know, pitched an idea of building out college radio within that. So that's what I've been working on. And, you know, I'm also interested in adding more amateur radio materials from college campuses, too.
Certainly.
In addition to broadcast radio.
After this interview, I will definitely pass along some information about the ham radio scene here in D.C.
because
I'm on the fringe of that as well, too. Vancouver has several repeaters in the area. We also have an amazing group called SARC, Surrey Amateur Radio Club, and they do great work. They even do this thing called EME, Earth, Moon, Earth, where they bounce radio signals off the surface of the moon and get the reflected signal back. And they do microwave links. Very, very cool stuff. The ham radio kind of built out of a lot of the aviation scene here, because there was a significant aviation in terms of things like float planes and logging. So you would only be able to fly in, or you would truck in. So there's a long-standing amateur radio community here in BC and also in the Pacific Northwest on Vancouver Island and in Seattle as well, too.
It's amazing. And I'm super into radio, college radio history, and the very early college radio stations in the 1920s were really started by people who were amateurs and hams. So there was a lot of intersection between that. So an amateur radio club on a college campus might also be doing some of these, you know, ham radio experiments and, you know, things with Morse code. So that's part of how I see that connection, especially in the history, that you can't separate amateur radio from, you know, college radio history.
Absolutely. We uncovered some amazing things over here. Jesse and I went kind of through our archives. We talked about our library, which has four main formats. We went through all the various stickers from bands and also super underground and indie record labels, even one from Berkeley that you recognized.
Oh, so amazing. Yeah, I mean, college, I've heard people describe college radio stations as archives, And it really is. You know, there's so much history captured here on the walls and in boxes and in people's memories. So it's delightful to come in and see familiar-looking stickers that I recognize from my radio station, or see records from bands that I know or labels that I know. And the fact that you've saved... I'm so appreciative of stations like yours that have saved this material and not tossed it out. It's good to be a hoarder.
Yeah, I went to the radio conference in Calgary 2 years